What do you know about Taste of Armageddon?
What I know about Taste of Armageddon is that it is an episode of Star Trek, the original series that was written by Robert Hammer with the teleplay by Gene L. Coon.
Oh.
Joseph Pevney, the same guy who did Arena and Return of the Archons,
Oh,
is our
okay.
director. Yep. So
Okay.
we've seen a couple of his episodes and we liked them. Return of the Archons, you and I gave a 9 and 8 out of 10 respectively, and Arena was a 7 and 8 out of 10. So like this is somebody we like, you know?
Cool.
And then I've got that it was originally aired February 23rd of 1967 with an 8.0 out of 10 from IMDb. I'm pretty sure I've seen the episode. It's a computer simulated war episode.
Yeah, and they yeah, so this one, for some reason, this one stands out in my mind as like one I definitely remember seeing, and also seeing as an adult a couple years ago when I watched a few of these. Yeah, it's you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the one where they want to kill Wesley because his name's not Wesley, is it? Is this Wesley Crusher? Oh, Will Wheaton's the actor. They want to kill Wesley because he stepped on the flowers. Do you know what I mean?
I watched that one fairly
Yeah.
recently.
So this is like a computer simulation is running a war. So they're like, we don't have to spend money on tanks and bombs and stuff. We just see what the computer simulation says, and then we execute that many people. And Kirk, you happened to visit on the day that this city was decimated by the computer. So please go ahead and get into the execution machine. And Kirk, I almost feel like Kirk might do a like well prime directive. I don't know. But of course, actually no. I seem to recall Kirk being like, I don't give a shit about this culture. Fuck these guys. We'll see.
I don't remember that much detail. I have vague reminiscences. I think this actually featured as well on Lower Decks as one of the planets that they went back to.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't recall that, but yeah, I
I
would love
don't
to.
know. I might be mixing up episodes, you
They
know?
do go back to a lot of these planets, so.
They do. And I don't remember for sure. I could easily be mixing it up. I'm not going to pretend I'm not, but I have that vague inkling in the back of the brain being like, no, that's something that happens here, you know?
We'll see if we encounter this when we're watching Lower Decks.
Yeah, no. I remember it being a decent episode. I don't remember it super well, but I do remember enjoying it, you know?
Yeah, I feel like I like this one. So, yeah, so let's take a look at it.
Sounds good.
Hello, and welcome back to The Least Ready Room, a podcast where Dave and Chris and a whole bunch of our friends, like all kinds of people, I always, I make note in the show note below of who is here, and usually I'm correct. But yeah, usually Saint, my friend Weebs, sometimes Chaos and Fickle Pickle Pie, Thrash Kishu, Surreptitious Music, all kinds of people come and hang out with us and talk to us about Star Trek. I don't even know who's going to be here today. Weebs and Saint, I think. So, actually, and yeah, we're going to talk to them first. So, so here they are. Thank you for listening to The Least Ready Room.
Like I've heard like speakers built into laptops that sound better than this. Like what the hell?
Wow.
I don't know.
Gentlemen,
Hey, what's up?
how do you do?
I'm feeling quite fine tonight.
Good.
I feel like August is leaving us.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the weather today, it wasn't primo. It was a little bit extra chilly because it was like rainy and overcast and stuff. But
Yeah.
it was good. It could have been a little less chilly and spraying. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to hoodies.
Oh, I've been wearing hoodies quite frequently. Yeah, so this one is Taste of Armageddon.
Oh yeah, this is one of my favorite ones again.
I
It's just
found this one, yeah, I found this one to be action-packed. I thought this one was a lot of fun. It's a little bit I think people like to compare this one, Weebs, to the one where Wesley has to be executed for stepping on the flowers.
Oh.
Except Kirk doesn't give a shit about the laws of other planets. They might even mention the Prime Directive, but then Kirk is like, well, that's for people that haven't achieved spaceflight. These guys have, so fuck them. Anyway, I won't tell you the entire plot or anything, but I like this one.
Yeah, it's good. It's a some not so subtle metaphor for what was going on in the world at the time when Star Trek came out.
I've been trying to kill Moog, Lord of Blood, so I can go to Shadow of the Erdtree.
Oh boy.
He has not been killed by me.
Yeah.
In so far. Okay, am I live? You guys
yes,
yeah, I would see. Would anyone like to have a drink or a pee or?
I got
all right.
Got my water, got my nerd clusters.
Oh, I am envious. I got like a handful of pistachios left, but I probably have some other snacks, but this will be fine. We're only gonna be here for an hour. Anyway, yeah. Let's watch what was it? A Taste of Armageddon, yeah. This one's funny. There's also a lot of really good one-liners, like dramatic one-liners, and also like really silly one-liners. I don't know if one of the writers was like, I'm going to make Scotty extra Scottish with some weird colloquialisms and shit.
Aye, the haggis is in the fire now. Like,
yes! Yeah, like, I feel like this one had, like, laugh-out-loud moments.
Yeah.
The haggis is in the fire now.
And then Bones over there being like, you have to do something, Scotty, get our captain back. And Scotty's like what? Start shooting? And then Scotty, you know, Bones is like, actually, I didn't actually have a real idea, so I guess I'm going to shut up now.
Yeah, so this guy, this ambassador character, there is like, he's certainly a Star Trek trope.
Oh, God,
Mr. Fox.
He is reincarnated 100 times. The asshole diplomat. Like, dude, how did you get to be a diplomat being such a dickhead?
Yeah. This one's really bad. I would go so far to call this guy an incompetent diplomat. Almost gets himself executed.
He's an idiot.
Yeah.
They start shooting, and then he's like, yeah, take down the shields. He said it was cool.
Let's like, fuck this place up.
They tried to impersonate our captain and then shoot at us. Like, I understand you want to make peace, but like, don't be fucking stupid.
Yeah. He's like, no, I think I'll just go down there and have a chat.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. And they're like, hey, nice to meet you. Let us show you to our disintegration chambers, the most scenic part of our planet.
Imagine if like Picard had come down and been like, you want to execute Wesley? Well, all right, everyone, let's start going around and blowing up all their disintegration chambers and fuck up their whole society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Murdering people.
Yeah.
A rampage. Like,
they did. They killed a few guards at the end there.
And blew up their complicated computer gaming system.
Yeah. Yeah, on a hunch that after 500 years of simulated war, these people wouldn't want to do an actual nuclear war, because that would be just way too insane.
But and, also, if they did do the nuclear war, it's no skin off Kirk's dick.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, sounds like a big old bunch of, that's not my problem. Like, oh, you need my crew to come down and get killed? It sounds like not my problem.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to be doing that. These guys should not have fucked with Captain Kirk.
No.
500 years down the drain.
Yeah. And I mean, just, like, Also, you know that if you blow up, I mean, I guess that's another thing you could say is like, what the hell are you guys doing? Like, if you try to blow up my ship, even if you were successful in blowing up my ship, they'll send another ship to find out what went wrong. And when they find out what went wrong, you guys are going to have problems.
They're not going to like it. Yeah.
Like, you're an advanced civilization, but you're not that advanced. We got a whole, like, nation of, planets out here.
Do you think the Enterprise can destroy a planet?
Yeah, it totally can.
Yeah?
Yeah. When you look at, like, the tech manuals and stuff, the canon amount of energy released by a photon torpedo is just insane. And they've got, like, 1,000 of them.
Okay.
Yeah, the Enterprise is 100% capable of rendering a planet uninhabitable for all time. Just
good to know.
Boiling off the oceans and blasting everything flat.
They've never done that.
No, they've never done that. There's no good reason for them to.
They did Genesis that one planet.
Yeah, they did Genesis that one planet. But that was like, it was a dead planet in the first place.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, it was a dead planet.
All right, good. Well, then that's okay,
Yeah, but of
course,
someone
else had probably come by and bombarded it with photon torpedoes.
Yeah. But then, of course, somebody else was like, you can Genesis a planet that's already got people on it. That's awesome. It's an ultimate weapon. Yeah. And I don't know if it's an ultimate weapon because it's just like one photon torpedo to kill the whole planet.
Yeah.
I'm like, you still can blow up a whole planet with one starship.
The Genesis device is like.
Yeah, I guess. It's small. And
you can send someone over there with a canoe.
Yeah, exactly.
Chuck the Genesis device. Picard does do something a little bit like this at one point. He does decide to totally fuck up two planets.
Yeah.
the ones that are addicted to heroin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that episode.
I don't remember that episode.
It's preposterous. The situation between the two planets is that one of them produces heroin. And the other planet, they all got a plague, and planet number one convinced planet number two that the cure was heroin, but you all have to keep taking heroin forever, or the plague will come back.
Well, don't you think it was a plague, but there is...
Right.
I think Picard is fully justified in that situation in just fucking people up.
I just feel like at some point on the planet receiving the heroin, someone must have run out of money and realized that they didn't die from not having.
You would think.
Like no one ever tried to, no one ever just for science tried to see what would happen if we didn't take this forever.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe they just liked taking the heroin so much, or were they like...
No, they were convinced. They were like, give us those drugs or we're going to die from the plague.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I hear that dope is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. It's not Wesley's mom. Is it Diana that says something? No, it's not. It's Tasha Yar.
Yeah.
She's like, Wesley, drugs make you feel good.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Best Tasha Yar moment.
Tasha Yar stating the obvious.
Yeah, so Picard is like, let these guys go through withdrawal, and then the other planet's going to not have any industry because they can't sell heroin to anyone.
Fuck them both.
Yeah, really fucks them both up.
Interesting.
Great.
That one of the dope fiends is played by Kirk's son.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Kirk's son from 2 and 3, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, this episode, though, is just, like I say, when I said thinly veiled metaphor, I was like, the veil is so thin.
Yeah, it's really,
just nuclear war is dumb, guys. why are we even contemplating this? Why are we even pretending this is a thing that we would actually do? Like, just stop it. Stop it with the nukes.
Just like the people on these two planets, we could just fucking stop.
Yeah, you could just... They're like, but we can't stop. We're killers. Like, yes, you can.
That sounds fucking stupid. Anon seven.
Anon seven. That sounds like
it makes you sound like an asshole.
Just you could just decide to stop. Stop murdering each other wholesale. But what if they say something mean to us again?
And that's
yeah.
It's all. Man, too many people are saying too many mean things to each other, and too many recipients are unable to handle that right now in the world. Right now, these days, one of the biggest problems with our society right now in 2024 is that too many people are saying mean things, and too many people are not prepared to have mean things said to them. That's what's happening. Yeah. That's right there. That's the core of the problem. Everyone needs to shut the fuck up and probably stop listening to everyone talking to
Them. Exactly. You don't actually need to listen to a group of 1,000 random bullies on the internet.
Yeah, you really don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
You be you, Rings of Power.
Yeah.
Why were people mad about the Acolyte, or was it just bad? Did it just do bad?
I didn't actually go watch it, even though I was like interested in like Star Wars Jedi stuff. Like, but yeah, I heard it was just bad.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Like people I know who are normally just very cool about whatever Star Wars is on, and they're like if it's woke, it's terrible. You know, they're like no, I like woke stuff. Woke is good. They were just like, no, actually, it was just kind of bad.
Damn, time it to just be alive.
It was just not a very good story.
I'm having a hard time with Discovery. Right now, I mean, I thought it was into it, but it's really just bad TV.
That's, you know what, that's fine. And I don't even really disagree with you for a lot of it. I feel like Discovery doesn't exactly know what it's trying to do, and especially early on, but it never really figures it out.
Well, some of the story is fine. Some of the character arcs, I can, you know, take it or leave it, but the production value, and like one character has to be the silly one. This one's the snooty one.
Yeah.
Like, and Michael's really weird facial expressions sometimes. Yeah. And I'm just over it.
That's fair. It's really overwrought. I don't really recommend it usually. I think that it's like, I think it's okay as almost like a gateway into like some new Trek and stuff. I feel like if you're watching season three, really, I'm not positive if it's season two, but some of the best stuff is the stuff that sets up Chris Pike and Strange New Worlds. 'Cause there's a whole arc with,
I kind of want to watch like some new Trek, but I want to watch, I don't want to watch another prequel, basically.
Yeah, and they're really, they love to do that.
Love to do it. They're like, this happened before, Kirk. I'm like, why? Yeah. Why? Come on, there's a lot of interesting, like, random plot threads left lying around by all of the 90s shows and early 2000 shows, and even by Picard and stuff. I guess I could watch Picard, but I don't know. I feel like Picard is really overwrought too.
Picard is unfortunate. Season two is a big mess. Season one is like fine. But again, it wants to be an action movie, which is weird. Like Discovery wants to be a real dramatic, like half feel good, half tense, like prestige TV show. And Picard really wants to be like a spy thriller with a lot of action in it. And that's a strange choice for a 79-year-old actor, however old he was at the time.
Yeah. But
season three is okay. And I have said it before, I don't think you need to watch season one and two. I think you can watch season three, which is the reunion, and it's the gang's all there, and it's fine.
Yeah, I might just skip ahead to season three.
Yeah, I think that that's a fine thing to do. I also think Strange New Worlds is great, just great. Okay. Period. Episodic, like each episode is one little story. It's got a real starch. It's got a not exactly a TNG feel, but it's got a like.
I don't know, Star Trek feel.
Yeah, it can be silly. And it does have that kind of like, oh, here's the sassy character being sassy.
Is that where Pike is now?
Yeah, that's the. It's basically the Enterprise right before Kirk. It's the Pike show. Yeah, okay. Strange New Worlds. I like it.
That's okay. I mean, some silly is okay. Yeah, some silly is like. There's always a vein of silliness in Star Trek.
Oh yeah.
Like, sometimes just some silly shit happens. Like, I don't know why this just comes into my mind, but Deanna Troi having a dream that she's a cake and people are carving her up.
Oh, is it her dream? Or is
that
Data's
a silly premise? That's not
or maybe it's
an entire character written to be silly.
I know exactly what you're talking about, because they do kind of like, yeah. It's like, here's our ensemble cast. You're going to be, this is the silly one. This guy's so serious, but he's got a heart of gold. You know, those kind of tropes are real in Discovery.
Yeah. I mean, they're real in a lot of shows, but generally speaking, like most shows, especially network shows where you're with these characters for so many fucking episodes.
Yeah. They become parodies of themselves.
Well, I will either that, or if it's a good show and it's well written, they become more complicated.
Oh, that too. Yeah.
You know, because I'm thinking of some other shows that where it's like the characters start out as basically sort of like cutout archetypes, but because you have like 20 episodes with them or whatever, and you know stuff happens, and you find out about like their backstories or whatever, and flashbacks or talking about it, and they become a little bit more interesting, you know.
That does happen on Discovery. I did really enjoy the final season of it, to be real honest. But,
yeah. Well, I was going to say, is like, but if they don't ever change, then yeah.
Yeah. I don't think the show ever really comes together, and I did not like season four. I don't know why. I just, like, I forgot about it as soon as I watched it, but season five, the final season, I thought was really good. Yeah. It's Star Trek, you know? I mean, it's, for me, that's all that matters. Although I didn't like Prodigy, so maybe... That isn't all that matters, but
I mean, let's be honest too. It's not like we like every episode of Star Trek that we're watching right now, or even TNG and DS9. It's not like every episode was a banger.
For sure. For sure. In fact, in most of the 90s shows, I think the first two seasons could probably go.
I just got Paramount Plus.
Oh, great. It's great. I love
it. I decided to drop Disney and get Paramount. And
they have an always-on Star Trek channel. Please continue. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, really? Because I was about to say, I might just pick that because I was a little always paralyzed about what Star Trek I should start watching.
Oh, yeah. That's my advice, actually. Yeah. Watch the always-on channel, and when something catches your eye, because I, you know, when nothing's going on, that's what's on the TV in here.
Nice. Okay.
Just whatever Star Trek they're spinning.
I kind of feel like that's how I like to watch Star Trek. I just kind of like to watch episodes out of order, see what's going on.
Yeah, like on TV in the 90s. Syndicated after school.
Yep.
Great. Star Trek is great.
Yeah. So I give Taste of Armageddon 9 fusion bombs out of 10.
Cool. I'm down to give it 10 fusion bombs out of 10 because I think it's a romp.
Yeah, it's real good. This is another one of my favorite episodes. Again, I think I've said that a couple times. But yeah, it's just so good. I mean, the unsubtleness of the story does not detract from the fact that it's good.
For sure. I mean, that's part of it for me, the over the top nonsense of it all.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit like a satire, like reading like Catch 22 or Animal Farm or something like that, you know, like one of those books that just, you know, describing something that's just so horrible and so brutal and so awful, but it's so, you know, but in just the most absurd way, just, and people just doing absurd stupid shit in the middle of this like awful brutality, and not just say and not and people just not saying like stop, just fucking stop. Like, why does this have to happen? Stop. You know, and in this, it's just like the absurdity is, you know, it's cranked up to 11 because it's like, you guys are really not fighting a war at all. You can't call this a war. This is some kind of ridiculous peace treaty that you have between your two things that you agree to like murder a couple million of each other every year to avoid, you know, whatever, I don't know, but or to like make you feel better about yourself that like, yeah, well, we killed a bunch of those fuckers over there on that planet this year.
Yeah.
In revenge for our people that got killed last year or something for like 500 years. That is insane.
Silly behavior.
That is insane behavior. And Kirk is just not having it. Kirk is just like, no, I am not participating in this. I am not entertaining this whatsoever. This is the stupidest shit I have ever heard. You could just decide to stop killing each other. We did it. We decided to stop killing each other, and we've been doing a relatively good job of it. Yeah, sometimes shit happens, but mostly we're not killing each other, and you can too.
Do you have a fusion bombs out of 10, Weebs?
6.
Oh, okay. This one, some of these have not been hitting you as much as
per usual. I'm distracted because I'm on work hours.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I hope that you had fun. Like
typical TOS.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
it is. Yeah.
They kind of are. And, I guess a lot of it depends on how much you like TOS or like this crew, you know?
Yeah.
But, I hope you had fun hanging out and watching it. And thank you to both of you.
I do.
Awesome. The next one I also think is a romp. This Side of Paradise. It's got spores that make you feel happy.
It's a drugs episode.
Yeah, it's a don't do drugs episode.
Yeah.
I like it a lot, as a matter of fact, just probably for that reason alone.
Yep.
Get a lot of shots of the characters with big goofy grins on their faces because they've gotten the spores.
That's cute.
Funny stuff. All right, guys.
Yeah, thanks for being here, and good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night.
Talk to y'all real soon. You think Gene Roddenberry is mad at computers?
I think in the 60s they were unknown and untrusted the way that people nowadays don't trust AI.
Okay. All right, sure. Yeah. We've got Landru getting blown up 2 weeks ago. Last week, Khan learned how to use the computer to take over the Enterprise. This week, do you think the premise of this one is silly?
A little bit. I think it's a little bit goofy.
All right, good. Because there's something about it that doesn't quite make a ton of sense, other than the fact that it's been 500 years and somehow their ancestors were brainwashed into this system and they're just still doing it. It makes sense in that almost religious kind of, we have to avoid escalation. But the system doesn't make sense.
I feel like as well, the system that they've got set up is valuing possessions more than humans, like more than life. I mean,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, because they're actively doing a thing that doesn't damage the infrastructure, doesn't damage buildings, doesn't damage anything else, but they still kill the quote unquote expected amount of people based on an attack, right? So like it feels like it's a don't want to destroy the stuff that costs money, but who cares about who cares about the cost of human life or whatever?
It's the necessary cost that we've all agreed must be paid to protect us from the terrible Vendikar who will destroy us with atomic radiation disease and horrors if we don't send our citizens to the vaporization machines. Jesus. Yeah. This is the planet Eminar. Aminiar. It almost looked like, reading the subtitles, that he had in the final moments, Kirk had referred to the people as M&Ms.
Oh yeah, I missed that.
Eminemians or whatever. Eminiar.
The episode as a whole feels a bit on the goofy side, but yes. I also can see how a society got there. Like the extrapolation on based on like, you know, what we know of modern humans and our mentality about things. Like, I can see how a civilization could get there. I'm not saying that the right choices having been made, but
the progression
is logical.
And I mean, I can absolutely see what this episode is saying, you know?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, as social commentary, they're putting
it's
it down.
It's a little heavy-handed in this one, yeah.
But it's like, this, so as a result, the episode has to be kind of goofy. And speaking of goofy shit, I feel like Kirk, I almost, instead of opening this with, so is Roddenberry mad at computers, I almost opened it with, so that was an excellent episode of Star Trek Voyager, where Captain Janeway throws the Prime Directive directly out the window, causes an interplanetary war, doesn't give a fuck about anything, laughs at the guy who's saying, now we're going to die from atomic bombs and disease. Kicks him over and then beams the fuck out. Calls up Bella. Bella? B'Elanna. B'Elanna's like, okay, we're going to nuke the surface of the whole planet, you motherfuckers.
And this feels very Voyager, now that you've pointed it out.
Harry and Paris, like in those plastic suits with the rubber hats, like
100%.
Gooning around, right. I'm sorry if I interrupted a couple of things you were saying.
But I was really into that idea. I hadn't put that together myself. Like, I hadn't seen it that way. And it's true. It's a very Voyager episode is all I was trying to get at. Like, it feels like something I'd expect of them. I hadn't clued into that myself, you know?
Yeah. Tuvok rampaging around, knocking people out, disintegrating the disintegrator machines, disrupting the disintegrators.
Neelix insisting that, no, everything's fine. We just need to talk to them.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my God. Neelix is Mr. Fox. You annoying motherfucker, Neelix. Yes. Yes. I didn't even have that one chambered. That's perfect. That's exactly who it would be. Except Neelix doesn't get to, like, give everyone orders, which is...
No.
Yeah, so this is that guy that I've mentioned a couple times. There's always some guy that they've got along with them that for some reason is allowed to order Captain Kirk around, and he gets them into so much trouble. This guy is an inch away from getting his ass killed for behaving like that.
Yep.
Hooray. This is a 10. This is one of my favorite episodes.
This is a really good one. I don't know if I'm going to give it a 10 necessarily, but like it's definitely up there, you know? It's a solid episode, a lot of fun, and I like the message. I do. I like the it may be heavy-handed, but I still like the whole thing, you know?
So
it's also a good one to introduce somebody to Star Trek.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like a nice introductory episode. Like, this is what you're getting into if you start watching this, you know?
Show him this one, and then show him the one with Wesley and step it on the flowers.
Oh, fuck, Wesley. I used to love Wesley as a character when I was younger, and now I'm an adult. I'm like, why?
There's really some funny shit he does. I can't believe nobody talks about the fact that he creates an entire like race of life form.
They really did Mary Sue him pretty hard in a lot of ways.
Yeah, he gets a little. Yeah, he really like. He's a super kid. He's like the super kid sidekick, the super genius kid sidekick, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the 90s. That kind of thing was going on. So Mr. Fox, played by Neelix, is the guy that for some reason What would it be? What would there be? Would there be any reason that like Mr. Neil, that Neelix would be like? Well, he definitely wouldn't be ordering Janeway around, but maybe he's like in this sector of space. I think it's well, he wouldn't. He wouldn't be like, let's go to this planet with a code 710, because that's what's going on. There's a code 710, which means don't go to this fucking planet. But Mr. Fox demands that we go to this planet to establish diplomatic relations. Like, Mr. Fox should, like, at least scout the place out, or at least wait until... I mean, really, this planet is labeled Do Not Go Here, and he's like, no, that's the one. We have to. We don't know a lot about his motivations or his orders.
Yeah, but we don't know why this is coming up in the first place at all. It just is the state of being.
He says that, like, they need to get a foothold into this sector. The whole sector is warlike. You know?
Yeah, but they don't say why this specific planet, and that's the problem I'm finding. Like,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. If you need a foothold in the sector, go for it. But, like, this planet does not have to be the one. There's no indication given to the viewer that this is going to do better overall than, say, any other planet. It's just this is the one he wants, he chose. And he will take it.
And he's in charge, goddammit. I'm Mr. Fox, and we're going to the Forbidden Planet.
Exactly.
Hey, have we seen a USS Valiant anywhere?
I feel like there's a Valiant that comes up in like Voyager or DS9, but I'm not sure.
I kind of feel like it might be one of the small ones in DS9, but it I feel like there's a but yeah, God, now I've seen.
All right, I've done a memory alpha Google.
Okay, for what, USS Valiant?
Yep, it is a Defiant-class starship operated by Starfleet in the 24th Century Federation.
DS9.
NCC 74210, and it was destroyed in 2374.
If it's Defiant-class, I didn't know the Defiant was a class. I didn't know that that was Defiant-class. And I'm assuming that the Defiant is Defiant-class.
I'm assuming that as well.
But there looks was like another...
It was only around for 2 years, this one, and under the command of Captain Ramirez.
Captain Ramirez, man. Well, we're gonna watch DS9. That sounds like DS9. Like the Valiant the Valiant was Avery Brooks's.
Yeah, no, I'm looking Cisco. At it. 35 crew members, including Nog and Jake. Only three survived the battle. Oh man,
I wonder if that's when Nog got his spoilers. You know, something happens to Nog, right?
Nope.
Okay. Well. Never mind.
I know nothing about Nog and I know of Nog. I know he's like Quark's
nephew.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Oh man, you know what?
He was a little one. He was a kid that was best friends with Drake, and then his dad was the one who becomes the leader of the Romulans eventually. The Grand Magus.
The Ferengi.
That's what I meant.
You're not going to believe what I'm about to say.
What?
My air conditioner is running, and I have to get up and turn it off.
Okay, that's fine.
after all of this stuff about noises coming from you,
because obviously all right, it's
like this is the same thing. Like I don't hear it because man, I knew it. I almost said something. This is me from the future. I knew I had my fucking air conditioner. God damn it!
Just a classic maneuver.
Yeah, but I believe that. Why I mentioned the USS Valiant is that someone is even like, we've got a report, Spock is like, we got a report that the USS Valiant came to this planet and it was fucking destroyed. We probably shouldn't go there.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of, I wrote down in my notebook, very drama, because there's a bunch of really heavy drama orchestral hits around this time.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, the dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, exactly that.
The entire episode.
Yeah, yeah. This is a high drama. Yeah, the whole episode is extreme drama. And, like, I can't stress the Janeway thing enough. Like, Kirk is going bonkers. Kirk and Spock.
It really feels like Voyager. And
yeah.
I wish I had realized it myself. Once you said it, it's like, no, this is the Voyager episode.
Kirk and Spock are on a fucking rampage. They're destroying the infrastructure of this planet. It's amazing. Yeah, so they... At the orders of Mr. Fox, they teleport down, and the leader, Anon 7, is like, and it seems like they know. Like, it almost, I'm not even sure, it almost seems like they chose to be listed as code 710 out here, because they're like, what are you doing? Like, they, and this planet has space travel. They've mm-hmm. never left their system. They have warned the Federation not to come here, the Federation, or just the Federation knows the Valiant was destroyed. But it sure seems like Anon 7 knows that people understand not to come to this planet, because he's like, immediately, why are you here?
Yeah.
And there's a couple scenes of kind of the setup where, like, Kirk is, you know, they're getting their tricorder readings, and Kirk and Spock are talking about there's no sign of damage anywhere on the planet, there's no radiation, like, it doesn't seem like they're at war. And Anon 7 keeps talking about this terrible war that they've been at for 500 years, where 3 million civilians are killed a year. This is, let's see if I can do it, the planet Eminiar, and the third planet in the system, Vendikar. They've been at a bloody war. It's unbelievably terrible. He can't believe the Enterprise is here. And Spock and Kirk are walking around going, these planets look unbelievably peaceful. There's no damage, no... These planets are not at war. These guys are doing some kind of role-playing. What's happening? They are, you know, I guess they're kind of being shown around, or maybe... For whatever reason, they end up all in the war room when there is an attack from Vendikar. And we see, you know, big areas of the maps getting lit up as though they've been struck by some kind of attack. They're talking about how there's one of the weapons has hit right here in the city, and all these people are classified dead. And everyone's very upset. And it comes out that this is all a war games type simulation. And that the peace agreement or whatever treaty they've agreed upon is that whatever the computers say, calculating whoever should be dead based on whatever attacks, and, you know, it takes into account the defenses of the city and these different things, and does the math and says this many people are dead and these civilians must report to the disintegration machines. They have 24 hours, and then they must send the video evidence of their deaths to Vendikar.
And it feels like voyeuristic, almost, I don't know how to word this in a way that makes sense, but like the thought's forming as I'm saying it, so bear with me.
I'm here, yeah.
But like, it feels voyeuristic in like violent, like snuff film type sort of a thing, you know?
Yeah, like we're getting off on this computer killing our civilians and sending them to the...
The video specifically, especially, where it's like, yeah, you have to send proof that they're dead, but to, like, no one's going to know otherwise without this video. So they have this video that people have to then sit down and watch of civilians just being murdered.
Imagine that guy's job.
Yeah, that just feels like a snuff film in a way, and it's just gross. It's really... I don't know. That specifically is very uncomfortable with the way it's presented in there.
Everything about this is bizarre. It is uncomfortable. These people are obviously psychopaths and fucking idiots, both.
Yes, I agree. There's clearly something going on that they've been brainwashed into that is not okay.
Yeah, I think this is another one where we have 500 years of doing what a computer has told us to, and that's just what we do. We've been doing it. This is the way, and it's fucking lunacy.
And they just need the kind benevolence of an outsider to be like, yo, what up? It also, in some ways, feels almost colonistic.
Okay.
So, like, again, vaguely got the thought forming as I'm saying it, but the idea that, like, you've got these people who are backwards, quote-unquote savages, one might say, the way, like, the Europeans had that perspective of natives in North America when they came here, right?
Okay.
And that... It feels almost like that's happening. Like they're trying to be like a show that they can fix it to a degree, but also like have like the general or whatever, the guy, Ford, was it?
Fox?
Oh, Fox. Thank you. Fox feels like he's supposed to be that stand in for like colonialization.
Okay.
And then like Kirk kind of just being like, no, man, like, dude, back off. And teaching, like showing like that's a bad thing to a degree.
Okay.
Maybe not to the full extent of what could have been shown, but It kind of has that feel on the edge of it, you know, if you want to look into it and try and analyze it on a deeper level.
Totally. And this episode doesn't mention the Prime Directive at all, but it's also, but you can look at this obviously, and you can talk about this as a Prime Directive episode, but as a comment on what you were saying to get back there, the Prime Directive almost, well, I mean, it is anti-colonial.
Yes.
It's the whole thing is we're trying not to do this. And this is, well, a good reason to stay away from a place if people say, do not come here. You know?
Yeah.
You know about that guy that got shot with a bow and arrow at that island?
There's a couple of places like that. But yeah, there's one in particular.
There's that's a really famous story about a guy.
An untouched native cannibalistic tribe that a buddy was told to not go to, and he was like, I can go anyway.
Yeah, I want to say it was like Soldier Island, maybe something like that.
I can't remember the name of the island. But it comes up on occasion on my feeds. Yeah,
there's one specific, or at least, you know, very well-known story about.
But that being said, there's a couple of islands like that, though. Like there's the Dollhead Island that don't go to there because it's haunted. Okay. And the story is that there's a dude who used to live there who that was like, he owned the island, and he collected all the dolls that washed up ashore and then hung them all over the place. It's just a really creepy vibe now that he's passed away. He's not caring for the island anymore, and you just don't go there. Or there's the Snake Island, same idea. It's like super poisonous. Don't step foot on the island or you could die. There's a bunch of places in that sphere.
Okay.
Where it's just don't go. Just do not go there. Heed warnings and avoid it, or you may not go home, you know?
But also specifically if it's the people that live there saying, don't come here. That's, you know.
Well, some of it's people, some of it's outsiders. Like, there's an island that was used during the plague, like during the Black Death, for corpse disposal. And I believe it was in Italy somewhere. I can't remember where now exactly. But because of how many bodies were being buried there, it just was poisonous to go to. Like, you were super likely to catch the plague because it was just a diseased island and it was unsafe for health purposes, you know? Okay. Sorry.
No, islands are cool.
Sorry.
So in this attack, the Enterprise, so now everyone has to report to be disintegrated. Everyone, whoever was deemed part of the attack in the city, which is basically everyone there, not Anon, and the Enterprise was destroyed, so they're going to trick the crew. They call, Anon puts on a fake Kirk voice, and he calls up the Enterprise, and he's like, hey, this is Captain Kirk, Scotty. Everything's great down here. They want us to come down and have a vacation with them and get really drunk.
Yeah.
Smoke space weed and get space drunk. And Scotty's like, that doesn't sound like the captain. The captain hates having fun. Yeah, so Kirk and Spock are being held in a cell because, yeah, and this isn't even like, I mean, when it's Wesley, they're kind of like, Picard, I don't know what you want to do. Like, you can just beam him out of there. We can't stop you. But, like, this is our fucking law. We have to kill Wesley. And Picard has to come down and they have to talk it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's
not what they're doing here at all, though.
That's not what's happening here. They got him in a cell. We're going to murder you fuckers. We're going to trick your crew into coming down so we can murder them, too. And if anyone else from the Federation ever comes here, guess what? They're getting murdered as...
It's not quite like that, but definitely murder happy. They're saying that this has to happen because it's part of the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there's no... With Wesley, at least, in that episode of TNG, the people perpetrating Wesley's death were... They at least came off as if they were apologetic that, like, hey, you know what, this sucks. You guys didn't know. We get it. But it is still our laws. We still have to do it. Sorry. Whereas here they're like, yeah, no, you're dead. No, we don't care. It's not an apology situation. Like, too bad. So sad. You should have listened to the warning and just not bothered showing up. Like, this is your own damn fault. It's very, very victim blamey in this one versus the Wesley episode where it just comes off a lot more genuine. And a lot more like they recognize that this is not a great position to be in, you know?
Yeah. That one is so weird.
It really is. But you know what? I like the episode anyways. Like the Wesley one, it's still a solid episode, even though it is just a little bit kooky.
Yeah. But yeah, Kirk and Spock, they very easily ambush the guard, which I guess this guard probably doesn't see a lot of combat if people are just reporting to the disintegration machine like willy-nilly. So they're able to trick this. That, like, I mean, the guy opens the door, takes one step in, and they just grab him. They get guns. They're like, let's get some weapons. Yeah, Kirk is, seriously, this is Janeway level. We're not fucking around. Get the fucking... I like the look of these weird disruptors with, like, many little pointy antenna beams coming out of the front of them. The Prime Directive is off the table. They're running around destroying the disintegration machines, and Anon 7 has had enough. He's like, destroy the Star Cruiser. So Scotty's up there in orbit, putting the shields up, and Mr. Fox comes onto the bridge. And how do you think Mr. Fox feels about all this?
He is very angry, because why would you bother attacking this planet that we're trying to make peace with and like set up relations? Like, that just undermines his whole mission that we still barely know anything about.
What are you idiots doing? Why aren't you making peace? Why are you getting shot at? And again, all of these characters are just made for the audience to hate them, to be like, you asshole, let the crew do their thing, god damn it.
Yeah, no, this one here, it also, this one was really trying to show why Kirk hates non-military people.
Oh yeah, because this guy is an idiot. This guy is, seriously, he is an inch away from getting himself absolutely vaporized.
Well, he even goes down, they're all like, please don't go down to the planet. Something is hinky. We're pretty sure you're going to die. He's like, no, I'm going down to the planet. Screw you guys. Like, I'm doing what I want to do. Like, just very, like, just complete lack of self-awareness around how not to die in these sorts of situations.
A lack of awareness concerning how not to die.
Yeah, 100%.
He gets on the fucking phone with Anon 7. And Anon is like, this is all a mistake. We're at war, and we thought you were the approaching Vulcarians, whatever the hell the other guys are called. And that's why we accidentally fired upon you. And look, we're not firing anymore, and we've got Kirk right here, and everything's cool. So why don't you lower your shields and come on down? And Mr. Fox is like, great, here I come. Lower the shields.
Yeah.
And the second later, Anon hangs up the phone and he says, the second they lower their shields, destroy that fucking starship. I'm goddamn sick of this.
That's what I'm saying. Like, complete lack of awareness on how not to die.
Fucking goddamn Mr. Fox. Kirk has a big fight and is eventually overpowered by Anon's men. And Anon calls Kirk a barbarian. And Mr. Fox beams down to the planet. Anon greets Mr. Fox all like, yeah, Mr. Fox got some other dork, so... Anon's like, come on in, dorks. Why don't you just step inside our palace here or whatever? The second they're inside the door, Anon is like, here's a gun. You guys are immediately going to the disintegration machine. Why the fuck isn't the ship lowered its shields yet? But, well, you know what? We'll figure that part out. But you guys are just, I can't wait to disintegrate you assholes.
Yeah, very excited for murder.
Love it. I can't wait to videotape your death and send it to my hated enemy. It would have been great if Kirk had just like kicked this guy in the balls right before leaving.
Well, it's and
he does me, verbally.
I may have gotten it wrong, but isn't this guy trying to pretend that they were super civilized and that Kirk and them were the barbarians and not the other way around?
Yes, that's what this man, because they have order, because they have law, because the law is absolute. You know what Picard says in the episode where they try to kill Wesley?
I don't know the specific line that you're thinking of.
There can be no justice if the law is absolute.
Yep.
So yeah. Spock manages somehow to get a communicator, and he calls up Scotty, and he's like, Scotty, we got to do General Order 24, which I guess is destroy the planet we're orbiting.
I thought it was that one? Because he had a couple that they brought up. There was like the destroy the planet and destroy the ship, I think.
I'm pretty sure Scotty... Well, Scotty at some point is on the communicator with, like, Anon and his goons. And Scotty is like, we are going to destroy the entire surface area, or at least where you guys are.
Mm.
Like, for real. Not like a simulation.
Yeah, no, I know there was a couple of different orders that came up. I just can't remember what they all were exactly, you know?
Yeah. But, and I mean, I've already discussed the fact that Kirk and Spock are on a rampage and destroying stuff all over this building. But, like, these are, like, I mean, obviously, you know, if this, you know, the big threat is that if the amount of people are not executed within 24 hours, then there will be an escalation, the treaties will be off, and real war will occur, and everyone will die. But, like, so it doesn't matter, basically what I'm saying, so it doesn't matter that Kirk and Spock are going around committing acts of war by destroying these guys, even their ability to commit to their treaty. But it really doesn't matter, because in the end, Kirk says, you think I'm a barbarian? I am. I'm dooming your entire society to war and chaos and nuclear devastation. And you know what? You guys can figure it out or not. I don't give a fuck. And that's when he kicks Anon right in the balls. It's great. He really...
It does feel cathartic.
He definitely, like... He's definitely like, I am a barbarian, and fuck you. You can all get vaporized. And then in the end, in the very end, when he's safe on the Enterprise, he's like, even if we had vaporized that whole planet, it would have been exactly the same as what they're doing. So fuck those people. And I guess no one ever goes back there until Lower Decks, of course. Maybe. We don't know if they go back there on Lower Decks.
Yeah, I feel like they do, but I don't actually remember for sure, so. It's been a while since I've watched through all of Lower Decks, and I wasn't listening for this planet specifically, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, yeah. But I mean, this, yeah, big Janeway energy. This one is just a roller coaster of just constant action and great lines and not, and like, it's like Kirk just like can't even believe these people, like from the very beginning. He's just like, what the fuck is this? And of course, his solution is fry all their computers. Fuck these people. This is the computer that does the calculations that kill people? Get fucking rid of this thing.
Yeah.
Great.
No, and it like you've said it a few times, but like that is the Janeway response to
absolutely.
Oh, you're doing shit that's bad. We're gonna take away your ability to do the bad thing.
Picard would never do this shit.
No, Picard would have been right there with Fox trying to talk them down.
Yep.
Which has Picard its would merits have been getting his ass way.
Vaporized.
Yeah, that has its merits in its own way. It's just. And you know what? It's interesting because, like, Kirk gets treated like this massive renegade all the time, right? And, like, Picard is a super down to earth and chill dude. But, like, if you look at their histories, it's because it's all because who they're with, right? Like, Kirk looks wild because Spock is so buttoned down. And Picard looks so buttoned down because Riker is so wild.
I love this one.
It's a great episode. This is a fan. I think a 9. I think a 9 for me. I think I really like it. I will happily watch that again. But I don't think it's the best episode from TOS. You know what I mean?
Okay, sure. Yeah, I mean that's.
It's right up there, but I don't think it's like the contender for like the top, you know?
Yeah. Fair enough. I'm sure I've given something else a 10
at this point. Yeah, you gave Squire of Gothos a 10. We both gave Squire of Gothos.
That's a banger.
I think Gothos is better overall than this one.
The same kind of nonstop energy, though, I think. Like
And then you also gave Balance of Terror got a 10 from you. Corbomite got a 10 because, of course, it did.
Never mind. I like them all.
Yeah, it's not that any of those are bad. Like,
I don't have a limit of the amount of 10s I'm allowed to give out. Can I give out a golden 10 once per season or once per series?
I think when we hit the end of a season, let's do one. What's your top pick for the season? I think that's a good option.
I like it. I'm down with that.
Operation Annihilate is episode 29. We just finished 23. Then a few episodes will sit down.
Annihilate.
Yeah, crew must find a way to exterminate behavior-altering parasites that have taken over the bodies of residents.
It's brain slugs.
And it's Kirk's brother Sam and family.
Oh my god, it's Sam Kirk!
Yep, the episode is popular for revealing new facts about Vulcan physiology.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, that when we get to that one, I think that's a good spot to do, like, this season, the best episode. And we can even do at the end of the season, series is, like, when we hit the last episode, like, season 3 of TOS, we can sit down and what's our favorite TOS period, you know?
Great. Great. Good idea. That's what we'll do.
All right.
All right,
yeah, cool. Good episode overall. Well done. I enjoyed it. Yeah. It's fun. I like it.
Me too. Thank you.
No worries. Thank you.
For watching it with me and talking to me about it.
I appreciate you hanging out and hosting it so I don't have to pay for the service.
Cool. Paramount. There's lots of stuff I like on Paramount. We have done it. We have watched Twin Peaks.
Congratulations. I know that was another big... like endeavor.
I really recommend it if you're ever bored and you need something to watch on TV. Oh, but well, I mean, I don't know if it's ever on something other than something you're not paying for.
I had
if you ever have the opportunity to see it. It's a great show.
When I watched the bit with you back, like the first day.
Oh, you did.
I did. I watched like an episode or two, and I really struggled to get into it. I found it a little bit too slow for me.
It is put you to sleep on purpose. Television.
Yeah. And like, don't get me wrong, I love Kyle MacLachlan and like the fact that he's in it is nice. But I found it a very difficult watch to get into. It was not catching me quickly. And maybe if I get further into the season, I will. But I was not, like the couple episodes just didn't do it.
It's very slow and really honest. And season 2 is like such, it's tough. It's a hard show to sit down and watch. To sum it up, just the whole thing. I could say specific things about certain parts of it, but it's a tough watch.
Yeah, I think you're gonna. I don't know. I think if we ever get around to watching Farscape together, that you'll enjoy it. But I think it's going to be a similar. It's one of those that grabs you or it doesn't ones. You know.
Okay, that's the Muppets.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to check out the Muppets.
I'm down to show it to you. Honestly, oh, yeah. I think
we also got to do a special episode about the pigs in space.
Pigs. Yeah, we still gotta find them all. Get them together, get the clips. I think finish up Vampires. I want to get that done.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
Yes, and then I think after that, movie night, if I'm able to keep doing movie night at all, gets moved over to Farscape and try that for a bit and see if that grabs you. And if not, we can find something else, obviously, you know?
Sure, maybe... Yeah, let's say the month of July is just fucked. And I feel like, but I mean, also like an after like this, like at noon, like getting together to watch Vampire the Interview would be fine.
Well,
all right. Thank you for listening to The Least Ready Room. Next week, we are going to be talking about the episode with the spores, which is maybe called A Taste of Paradise or something like that. The question for the week regarding that episode will be, if you could go to Drugs Planet and not have to eat or do anything, and you were in a good mood all the time, but you could never do anything else other than sit around and get high for the rest of your life, is that something you would like to do? It's not really a very open-ended question. It's kind of a yes or no question, which obviously I should steer away from if I want discussion. But I want to know. I want to know if you would be content to sit around on drugs for the rest of your life. It's a funny episode. Because I got the release order of these podcasts out of order, the question for this week is out of order. And, okay, we'll make up for it when we get to it. We're not going to see any Klingons for a little while. I don't think we're going to see them next week. Maybe. No, we're not. It's going to be the spores, the taste of forbidden paradise, drugs planet. But anyway, where was I? The question I asked for this week was incorrectly, but it was. What is your favorite episode with Klingons, or your favorite media with space orcs, or just regular orcs? I said that my favorite Klingon is B'Elanna Taurus, which is probably correct, and that my favorite Klingon episode might be when Sisko and O'Brien get Klingon implants and try to infiltrate some Klingon meeting. And I feel like I corrected myself, because I'm pretty sure I know what my favorite Klingon episode was, but I think someone brings it. Well, anyway, let's see what everyone had to say instead of me speculating on what I'm about to read. Atheist Man is currently really liking the orcs in Practical Guide to Evil, which is something I think I'm supposed to be checking out. Saint 242 says, while I think about a specific episode, I will say that the Klingon Bird of Prey ships with the flappy wing bits for different flight modes is one of my all-time favorite spaceships in all sci-fi. And that ship is cool. And I love that the Enterprise crew have this ship all of movie 4. A Foolish Princess. Oh man, I meant to figure out what PF2 is. A Foolish Princess says, PF2 now allows any ancestry to be half-orc. I have a half-orc, half-rat-folk based on Dave the Intern, who claims to be a Nutria. Nutria are weird and big. yes, Weebs says, and this is the one. Yeah, this is my favorite Klingon episode. Weebs says, Worf being a bozo on Ryza because he doesn't want anyone to have fun is an interesting plot device. That's like pinnacle Worf. That episode is not, it's too much. It's Worf jumps the shark there. He's too Worfy. He's never that Worfy again. It's too much. Toronto ABC, that's Chris, says, I like Torres too. Not sure on favorite Klingon or Orcish thing yet. Okay. I should ask her about that. Maybe her answer will be in an upcoming episode. Sometimes we do that. I'm really trying to get odd sub kind of structured schedule to make these shows. Shit, what was I about to... it's Tuesday right now. I think I want this one to come out on Monday. I think I want the other one to come out on Friday, but so far that's not been happening. But I think that's what I want. I'm not sure. Maybe I'll change it. Right now it's Tuesday. Maybe it would be better to put this one out on Wednesday. I usually record it on Monday and Friday. The other... You know what? Why am I doing this? Thrash Kiyoshu says... Worf is definitely a favorite. Torres is not far behind. Favorite episode is pretty much any time any Klingon is bewildered or mildly peeved by an empathetic human trait, which is all of the time. Love Klingons. Great. Saint 242 returns to say, okay, so my favorite Klingon media story is an old video game called Klingon Academy. It was a sequel to a game... I suddenly have hiccups... called Starfleet Academy. You flew around Star Trek capital ships, flight simulator style. That sounds cool. The campaign of the game was split into two parts and took place shortly before Star Trek 6. The first half was you as a... Did you notice that I don't automatically parse Roman numerals? I had to sit and, like, figure it out. The first half was you as a Klingon officer in their Special Officer Academy. And your professors are Worf, an ancestor of Lieutenant Commander Worf, so is that... Oh, but not the lawyer in Star Trek VI. And Chang, Christopher Plummer, yeah, doing FMV briefings like CNC Red Alert, that's cool. They run you through a simulated war where you invade the Federation, and the final mission is you blowing up the Enterprise A and deploying a Genesis device on Earth. Then a real Klingon Civil War breaks out, and you spend the back half of the campaign fighting other Klingons. Excuse me. And then eventually some Romulans who were interfering in the Klingon Civil War. Pretty sure they stole that plot line from TNG season 5 to 6. It definitely ties into TNG 5 and 6, yeah. They had a bird of prey that could fire without uncloaking as a special unlockable. That sounds fucking broken. Oh, that was me starting to comment that it sounds fucking broken, but if I let him finish his sentence. As a special unlockable with a cheat code, and it was totally broken. Anyway, yeah. Okay, so, that was the question of the week. for last week about Klingons. The question coming up is, do you want to go to Drugs Planet? And that's all for this week. If you want to answer those questions or talk to me about Star Trek or anything else, do podcasts or whatever, you can come see me on, where is it? Discord. You can get a link to my Discord at CuyaDK.tv, CuyaDK.tv, and also check out LakeHouseSubs.com. Thank you. See you next week for Drugs Planet.